It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, alongside former Packer Brian Belaga. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
Yes, you learn something new every day, even at 71. This is the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. The best segment will be Brian Belaga and Jason Wilde. I thought I knew everything about wrestling. I had never heard of 5-on-2, so I had to look it up on AI. An illegal and notoriously dirty move. So whatever you heard in the last segment was accurate. We didn't have any name for it. I told you what they did to beat the snot out of me, but no one... Joining us now is Brian Belaga. Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not well. I thought I knew everything about wrestling. This immense, but I'd
not
never heard
five
of
on two.
I'd never heard of the 5-on-2. The one time I got to wrestle because no one else was available, I was without a doubt the worst high school wrestler ever. Because JV, and in the varsity, the best football player on the team decided to go out for wrestling, and it was first match. And at the end of the middle of the period, the official stopped the match and said, "Your wrestler just bit the other team." Oh. And our coach, who really thought a lot of this athlete, goes out there and starts yelling, like, "You can't do that to my kid, dude." And the ref brought the other guy over with his arm. And apparently it was a significant bite, because then our coach turned on our own guy and kicked him off the, you know, out of the gym, and then kicked him off the team. So I don't, and that's not, so you can look up 5-on-2.
Not a good look for the program. That's all I'm going to say.
For Fickell.
Yeah, not a good look.
Yeah, it's so anti him.
I get it's on PMT, it's on Barstool Sports, and you know, you're supposed to, you know, it's fun, but I mean, good.
Nice, maybe, man. He's trying to show a toughness. I don't know. Like I said, the biggest part to me is, as great as he was, like he was like a I mean, I think he won the state in high school like 3 or 4 years, and he was at, was it Ohio State, and the great wrestling team was Iowa. I don't know. It was who at Penn State or something. Like, he was going to wrestle for, you know, one of the top college wrestlers. So he's not that old. I would think he could crush his 19-year-old even now, but I don't.
You would think.
Yeah. I mean.
You would think.
But anyway.
But, yeah, anyway is right.
You just seem to, like, you really want to move on.
Yeah, I mean, performing that move on your son is very, I mean, is just, I'm confused.
Yes.
Very confused.
Yes. There are things that you could, there's a range that you would understand. Like,
yes,
that should be the discount liquor Twitter poll question. A father's out there, could you ever do a 5-on-2 move on your son?
Correct.
And the answer would be 100%. Or you get.
I'd hope so.
Or you should go to jail.
Something should happen to you.
Yeah. This is the first time I've really wanted to interview Luke Fickell.
Yeah. Luke. You know, what are you doing?
What are you thinking?
And why tell people that? Why tell that?
Well,
and
as a wrestler, I know there are other options that you can do. But that would be down as an indication that he was afraid he was going to get whooped. So that's what you do.
Yeah. Last resort.
Because of a severe violation, legal variations instead involve wrapping the hand safely around the hip or the inside of the thigh. Now, he would have been wise to say, don't be thinking I do the illegal 5-on-2. But he didn't.
He seemed to
put it in a way that he actually was saying that it was, if you knew what the 5-on-2 was.
Yeah, yeah. You should know what that is.
I wish to state that I don't know that I'll ever be able to think of anything when I think of Luke Fickell, but 5-on-2, like, that's the start, right?
That's what I'm going to think of when I see him give an interview.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Like, wait a second. Is no one going to, is no one going to ask him about this?
I get it. I don't know. Or wait, can you imagine if they have a 5-2 record? Is this kind of a special record for you, Coach?
Yeah, Coach.
The old 5-2.
Yeah, the 5-2 is a really strong record, right? It's a.
I gotta look up Dan Gable. Gable, I'm sure, wrestled at Iowa State, but I thought he was the wrestling coach at Iowa, and they won multiple national championships.
I think he was the wrestling coach at Iowa, and then when I was there, it was Brands, and he's still there, I believe.
No, if I could have been any athlete growing up, I mean, a wheelchair, I would have wanted to be Dan Gable. I thought like he was
amazing.
He was the best of the best. Let's see. Yeah, he won the gold in the in Munich in 72. He wrestled for Iowa State. And from 76 to 97, he was at Iowa. His teams were 355-21.
He didn't lose.
They won 21 Big Ten championships, 15 NCAA titles. When were you there?
I was there from, 07 to 09.
Oh, man. I keep forgetting how young you are.
Yeah, it was Brands. Brands was the...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he wrestled for him. There's no question about that.
Yes, he probably did.
He coached 50 national champions, 106 Big Ten champions, and 12 Olympians. Yeah, if you don't know about... the two greatest athletes... I'm going to ask you. Was there an athlete that you wanted to be, or?
Well, growing up in Chicago was always Michael Jordan.
Right.
I mean, growing up in a suburb of Chicago, I mean, Jordan was A1. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then obviously, like,
you couldn't be Michael Jordan, or did you still hope you could?
No. You mean like when I got older?
I don't know. I just think growing up and... I don't know. I guess I was a little weird, Dan Gable, and then I always wanted to be a runner, and I thought, I've told you this, Abibi Bikila, I thought was the greatest runner ever. He won the marathon in 1960 with no shoes on, and then in 64, he put shoes on and won. I wanted to name our oldest son Abibi Bikila True, and I'm serious, I did. And my wife, I know you find this hard to believe, she said no. First she laughed. She said, "You're kidding." No, look it up. This is amazing. And they're just going to call him BB. They're going to just give him a nickname. They're not going to call him. I don't want to live with our whole life everybody asking how your kid got his name of BB Bikila True. So I gave in.
I don't know if you had much skin in the game there anyway. I don't think he had much.
In the end, I didn't because it didn't. It wasn't that important. I mean, if a name, like I wanted to name somebody after my dad or my mom, I would have had skin in that game. Is that different than a BB Bikila?
I think the double leg
takedown is different than the 5-on-2. Yeah, there are different. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think if the fact that she laughed at you first was the point was right away was when, I don't know how you decided.
We didn't know our daughter what she was going to be. Boy or girl, and so we had two choices. It was because Paul Molitor was known as Molly. It was going to either be Paul or Molly. And then when she was born, my wife said, I don't want to do that. I don't want her to live her whole life. It was like you were named after Paul Molitor. So I said, okay, what are we going to name her? She goes, I like Allison. We didn't know how to spell Allison. We looked it up in the book they had at the hospital. And it just is A-L-I-S-O-N, just one L. And then nobody else spells it like that. Everybody else has two L's or something like that.
Yeah, two L's, anyway.
So how about you choosing the names?
We just had like two names picked out for each kid that we agreed upon. It took some time.
Really? Was it a mutual decision? Or if you could do it over again and it was 100% on you?
100% on me?
You would have named... Hayden?
Yeah. It's Declan and Cameron. Yeah, I would have been perfectly fine with those names.
How did you pick them?
I don't know. We just kind of just brainstorming randomly during the evenings when her and I would talk, sitting on the couch randomly in Green Bay during the season. I mean, it's like, I don't, I don't recall the exact moment, but we came up with two names each, and then once they were born, her and I kind of we picked one, and that's what we went.
Who were the losers? What names were the losers?
The boy name that we didn't go with, I think Tucker, maybe.
Yeah, that's good. Another good name.
And then I think the girl name that we didn't go with, I'd have to. She would know. No. My wife would know. I at that point, I told Abby for my daughter, I go, listen, I just don't want her to have a name that in 15 years when she's a teenager and in that phase that she's going to absolutely despise us for naming her something. And then I got to deal with that on a daily basis. Not only do I not like my parents, I don't like you because my name you gave me. So like, I was like, you do that. We come up with a couple names, sure. But at the end of the day,
ever complained about their name?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. I mean, Declan thinks his name's really cool because there's a Declan Rice that plays for England, you know, in the midfield. So he thinks that's really cool. And Cameron, she's just, one day she may, you know, one day she loves it. I mean, if you asked her another day, she'd be like, I don't know. It's all right. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of her every day. So,
but it's a name where a boy or a girl could be Cameron.
Yes, correct.
There aren't many like that.
Yeah.
Well, we adopted our oldest, and his name was James, and my wife decided she liked Ben better, even though he was 2 and a half, which I thought they would tell her she's nuts. And the social worker said, sure, you won't remember anything. But when he would get mad at me, he'd be like, I'm changing my name back. My real name is James, and I go for it. It's your name. You want to go back to like James? He never did. He's still Benjamin. So, but I'll always be amazed. Because when she said it, I go ask the social worker, assuming that she'd say, you can't change the kid's name. He's, you know, 2 and a half. He won't remember. And he never would have known if we hadn't brought it up. So
nope.
He was right. All right, now to the good stuff.
She was right. She was right. I guess that's the first time I've heard a story like that. Like, you adoption, and then you change. Your wife's like, I'm changing the name.
Well, right.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Sometimes they're adopted at birth, or, you know, like if the second child we adopted was at birth. But if they would have said the mother or father, or the birth mother, like, we'd like you to name him a certain name or something, like, we probably would have. But
you know. I get that. Yeah. I get that.
So now to the great segment. Enough fiddling and diddling. I'm not sure anybody's going to remember anything other than 5-on-2. But you and Jason might be able to pull it apart. Jason Wilde. What?
I'm going to have to ask him about it.
There's no way he will have ever heard of it.
He's a Badger guy, too. So, like.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to. I mean, listen, this is on all the Badgers.
Well, like, no. You're tough. It's about the only thing that you're tough on. I agree. If they won a national championship, you know, my first line would be, oh, 5-on-2 got her done, baby. He got her done. He did a 5-on-2 on college football this season. How about that?
Well, that would be, that's a very clever play on a 5-on-2. Yeah.
It's too bad he's not a basketball coach. Then it would be even better. But
correct.
So
correct.
Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. Next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Yes, the ultimate segment, Brian Bulaga and Jason Wilde, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He has his own Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Brian, take it away.
Jason, good evening. It's a pleasure to speak with you again. Long time no talk.
Yeah, I heard that I was on your list, and as I explained to Homer, if CCAT had mistakenly called me on Thursday last week, I would have joined. And in retrospect, had I known that you were so sensitive, you're spending way too much time around me, man. If you're becoming this sensitive, because you're the big tough guy and I'm the sensitive one.
What happened? What was I sensitive about?
I heard you were upset. I was told by one Steve the Homer too.
I said because what you said was that, well, you know, even when I'm off, I still kind of make it for my segments. I believe I was listening correctly, Mr. Bulaga. Am I right?
Yeah, now, I said I always make time for Wilde and Tosh.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was not doing the same for us. Did I take that correctly?
I have
just one time.
This was the first time.
Just the one.
This
time.
Was the first time that I have taken.
I enjoyed it personally, but maybe I overreacted.
No, you overreact. Hard to believe. It was the first time I've not done my other hits on other shows when I've taken off from our show, and I can assure you that I look forward to the next time I take time off to not miss the program with you. And Homer. Now, I may miss the other days with Homer because then it's just me and Homer, but I will definitely not miss another Thursday.
I approve that. I apologize. This is the best profusely. Segment. You're right. You got it. Yeah. Good job, Jason.
And I got to tell you, I am here to say that I just got done talking with Tremon Williams, your former teammate,
yep.
and Earl Dotson, who is a little bit farther back even than Tausch on the incredible run of right tackles that this organization has had during my time covering the team, from Earl to Tausch to you to Zach Tom, who I did talk to yesterday, and he feels pretty good about his chances of being ready for the opener now, and he even managed to start camp not on the PUP list. But you know what you, Tausch, and Earl Dotson all have in common, other than playing right tackle for roughly a decade here each?
No
Pro Bowls.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It was the era of no right tackles getting Pro Bowls.
Yeah, so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong. So, and Earl,
right tackle
Earl
back then didn't really count. You were either a left tackle or you weren't a tackle. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. It was the era of right tackles not getting Pro Bowl votes.
Yeah, they weren't considered. Yeah. It was like the other tackle spot. I don't know as a right tackle if you'd have a chance. They were going to the top tackles.
Was
were
always,
the top 10 yeah. left tackles, right?
Correct. That's how it was.
All right.
Yeah, it was just a travesty. So anyway, he turned a little bit of our press conference into him bemoaning how unfair and how wrong that was. And I don't disagree with him. And so I am here. You know how David Beckham went to the palace and got knighted, which
yep.
I don't think really is valuable. I am here right now not only to apologize to you for not doing Thursday's show, but I am knighting you a former Pro Bowl right tackle, because had they been giving them to Pro Bowler, giving out Pro Bowls to right tackles, you'd have gotten one, and old T would have gotten one, and Earl would have gotten one. I mean, think about Zach Tom. He's still kind of in that era, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he got the third most votes for right tackle all pro a couple of years ago. But there's still a bias against you guys. It's just not fair.
The money's getting closer, though, isn't it?
Closer. Close-ish.
Closer, yeah. Close-ish. We'll see what, I guess, the Arizona Cardinals left tackle ends up getting. Because what did he say he wants, Jason? Like $50 million or $45 million or something like that to match the pass rushers? Or
yeah.
Something crazy.
To him, I say good luck.
Yep.
Speaking of money, though, how's this for a transition? Talked to Keyshawn Nixon today. He said three different times, I'll just leave all the contract stuff between Goody and my agent, Tory Dandy. I'm here to play ball. I talked to him afterward, and I said, look, it didn't work for Elton last year, so did you just sort of decide, look, this isn't going to work. I might as well. I got to practice. And he said, yeah, I'm a football player, and that's just what I'm going to do. I don't think he's happy about it. I don't think he thinks it's fair. I tend to agree. But I think he's doing the right thing because, you know, we talked about this a year ago during the offseason, Brian. Like, I think Elton Jenkins had a very viable case. In fact, I think Goody kind of admitted earlier this week, yesterday, about playing guys out of position that he, I mean, part of it's his fault. Should have just left Elton Jenkins at left guard where he was an all-pro or a pro bowler. And
yep.
so, you know, I think Keyshawn, you know, he said that he was not trying to make a statement by not practicing yesterday. He said he woke up, his hamstring was sore. The doctors told him to go get it scanned. He got it scanned. It felt better today. Now, is he telling 100% of the truth? I'm going to accept his version of events, but I will also say that it is smart for him to be practicing. This is a guy that's been very durable during his career, so it's not like he hasn't played through injury. But don't open the door, right? Don't open the door for Brandon Cisse to walk through it, and don't let him get first-team reps, because as long as you're out there, you have power to keep him off the field with the number one defense. So I think that's what Keyshawn is focused on.
Speaking of Cisse, how has he looked, I guess? I mean, I get it's only helmets and shirts right now, and it's early days, but what have you taken away from him?
Yeah, I saw something, speaking of helmets and shirts, I saw something, you know, the Packers with all the LED boards now in the locker room, since it's a very different place than where you used to get dressed, it says what you're supposed to wear to practice, and it said padded shirts. Did you have, is that like a padded bra? Like, did you have like a padded shirt when you were, when you weren't in pads? Like, I don't know what that means. I'd never seen that before until today. What's a padded shirt?
So it used to be shells, if you remember what those were.
Right.
Shells. Yeah, it used to be shells. So they've probably graduated now to like dry fit Nike shirts with pads built into them, like, you know, soft pads built into them would be my guess. Just to protect
like the
guys.
Shells, you put them on, though, right? Like those you have to put on over your head like shoulder pads.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's probably even been stripped away. Now they're just wearing probably padded shirts so that a face mask doesn't catch a shoulder and it does a little damage to it or something like that. That'd be my guess. But I don't know for a fact. I have no idea. You know, I never wore. If we were not in pads, we'd either be in shells or you just didn't wear anything underneath it. You just wore a jersey.
Right.
That's right. What it was.
Exactly. Yeah, so that surprised me. To answer your question, I mean, yes, the caveat you delivered is right. I mean, it's not, they're not in pads. So, you know, I would argue that, you know, maybe at corner you can gauge a little bit more, right? I mean, not to the same degree as when you're in pads, but, you know, he looks the part. He's athletic. Matt LaFleur talked today about how mature he is. He just turned 21 on July 2nd. So he's like you, came into the league as a 20-year-old kid. You know, you were still a 20-year-old kid. Were you? So did you not, like, did you turn 20 after you got here? Or, like, you didn't get here at 19, did you?
No, I got there, and then in March I turned 21.
So that's why you were a 20-year-old starter in the Super Bowl and the youngest dude to ever start a Super Bowl.
A 21-year-old, 21 and some change.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So because here's the thing, like, you and – Kenny Clark, I know, was 20, right? And I think it takes a specific type of personality, and you two certainly have it, right? You two, you and Kenny, all business, right? I mean, yes, you guys can have fun, but, like, neither one of you, like, acted like a 20-year-old knucklehead, right? And I think
he's still all business today.
Right, exactly. Right. I would agree with that. Well said, Homer. Thank you for contributing. Back to the cot. But, like, I can see how Cisse is a little bit like that, too. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I know him as well as I knew Kenny or know you.
Oh, that's going to be used. Reminded you of a young Brian Bulaga.
No, wow. He doesn't even play the same position.
Doesn't matter.
Is,
it's a mental, is that it's got, a development.
You have
maturity.
To have a maturity.
That's
you
the,
to
yeah.
be that young. To be that young, and if you are going to be called upon to play, because remember, Brian was not, right? Brian was going to back up Tausch, and if Tausch stays healthy, you know, you probably, I mean, we know they weren't putting you at guard, as you've told us many times. But, like, if Tausch stays healthy, I don't know what your rookie year looks like. If Keyshawn and I still think Carrington Valentine's better than he gets credit for. I would say this, that if Cisse has to play, he will, I think, show that he's able to handle it. He's going to get beat, just like every corner does, but he's going to be the kind of guy that can handle that kind of responsibility at a young age.
So, last, I guess, we're going to stay on training camp just a little bit. Then I want to ask you about Wyatt's contract. But what is going on with the offensive line with injuries already? What's happening? And guys getting hurt or were hurt or are hurt or on pup? Like what's going on?
So they're doing with Aaron Banks what you didn't want them doing with you. They're kind of altering how they're working him. He did not work today. He worked yesterday, but no team. He's got some sort of lingering knee issue, and it was like pulling teeth to get him to admit it was his knee today. He's just talking about soreness. I'm like, dude, they didn't have you not practice because you have soreness. So my point to him is like, they're counting on you now, dude. Like, you're the oldest guy in the room now. Elton's gone. And, you know, they need you to be, because they don't have a whole lot like Travis Glover. Remember when Travis Glover had to play in that playoff game against Philly?
He wasn't ready.
Yeah. Right. And now he's coming off a year where he's on the shelf with a shoulder injury. Like, they need Aaron Banks to be healthy. They played Jacob Monk there today in practice, but, you know, Zach Tom's not doing team yet. So that's not an option there. And then Jagger Burton left practice yesterday, didn't practice today, had a hamstring thing. Doesn't look like it's serious. But so that competition's not happening. They got Darian Kennard at right tackle. They're not in a great spot. And what's problematic, of course, is you knew they weren't going to put Zach Tom in team. Just weren't going to be stupid to do that. But like, it would be nice if at the start of training camp, you had most of your guys. And instead, you know, the Aaron Banks thing, like with as much as he dealt with last year, and he played most of he played what, 14 of the games, 13 of the games. Like he was clearly hobbled, but like everything hinges on that group, man. I mean, you know, we got to find out what Morgan is there. We got to find out if Sean Ryan can elevate at center. Like, it's just so much is on that group. And having seen what really good groups look like, one of the things they have is training camp together. And we're only 2 days in, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm Chicken Little here. But they're going to need that group of five getting work here coming up soon. And I don't know when that'll be. I think Zach Tom feels good about being able to do it sooner rather than later, but it ain't right now.
Yeah, you can't do that right now. There's no point for him to go right now. What, based on Wyatt's deal, which I think, hey, re-signing him and all that, I think it was a great re-sign. I like Wyatt a lot, especially if he stays healthy. What's kind of the it numbers on that contract? Because we saw $20 million signing bonus or whatever. Is that essentially what it is, Jason? It's a $20 million guarantee and see how you go from there? Is that what that deal is?
Yeah, I also think that's going to be the holdup with Kraft, because I don't see Kraft taking all these low numbers. Like, you know, $20 million guaranteed for Wyatt, who, again, by his own admission, he hasn't stayed healthy. I mean, he said that to us the other day, yesterday. $31 million guaranteed, just the signing bonus for Watson. $20.5 million guaranteed, just the signing bonus for Jaden Reed. Like, yes, all of them have different levels of injuries they've dealt with in the last couple of years. But, like, again, for what those guys are capable of, and they have to stay healthy to do it, but the Packers are looking at it going, hey, this is great. There has to be, like, when Russ Ball gets in his car and he's all by himself driving on Lombardi Avenue, he's got to be saying, I can't believe they accepted that deal. I can't believe they didn't demand more guaranteed money. Am I wrong?
No, you're not. You're not. I mean, and Homer and I talked about this the other day. That's what, when people talk about the Packers being able to compete financially, when you have contracts like this, you are, because you put the guaranteed money in escrow. They're not enormous numbers like Micah's or Jordan's. They're pretty standard numbers for players that are huge contributors, and you're able to compete with that. With some of these other teams that they guarantee guys $150 million, I mean, that money goes into escrow. That's coming out. That's going in. You have to put that money in there. Green Bay doesn't do that. So competing financially, there's no question with the way they structure contracts, they're able to do that. And this is a perfect example. Three guys get signed this offseason, very similar structure. And yeah, that's how you're able to do it. And I 100% agree with you. That's what's holding up this Tucker Kraft deal, because he is not going to do that. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't. But that's definitely going to be a holdup, because he's not going to take just a guarantee signing bonus and call it a day. It's just not going to happen.
Nor should he. And again, you know, I talked to Christian Watson about this after he signed. He's like, look, I believe I'm going to earn all that extra money. Good. I'm glad you believe that, and I hope you do. Mm-hmm. But the whole disparity between, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL players, and you guys is that signing bonus. If that's all you get guaranteed, you don't get anything else guaranteed, they can cut you. I mean, that's the thing about, like, Elton, for example. Like, what Elton was trying to do was to get that money guaranteed for the last years. He didn't ask for a single penny more than what was already existing in his contract when he tried to hold out last year. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work, because guess what? They didn't want to pay him any more of that money. That's the whole idea. Yep. And that's the beauty of the NFL, is that you can sign in Watson's case, a 4-year, $92 million extension. You get $31 million of it guaranteed. You'll get your base salary this year. But it's a one-way street, man. And they can, if they're willing to eat the cap hits, they can move on from you pretty much whenever. And yep, that's the case with those three. And Tucker Kraft is too good of a player to allow that to happen. His agent, I can't imagine, would be. And that leads me to the question of how long is it going to take? Like, he made the comment yesterday, the sooner the better. He had that great line about how Green Bay's chances of winning the Lombardi are better with me on the field. I was like, dang, now that's some swag. Most guys don't say that. And he managed to say it in a way that he didn't come off as completely arrogant either. It was actually kind of impressive.
No, it's true, though, too.
Yeah.
So it's not right. it's not like he's a special team player and is saying that he's one of their, if not the best offensive weapon that they have. So yeah, he could say that. I don't mind it, because I know how he works. I know, like, I got to meet him. I know how he is. So, like, I don't, and he's not that type of guy. So it's all in context. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what it is. It's all in context. If you know Tucker Kraft, you know he's not an arrogant guy. So if he says that, it's coming from a place of, I need to be out there, period. Mm-hmm. Like, that's – and so I don't mind that comment at all. So when does, I guess, training camp actually start? When do they put pads on, Jason? When does this thing actually start?
So we've got another of these – whatever you don't like to call them.
Meaningless.
Practices. Is that what it –
No, he has another word for it that's better than that, but it's – I can't remember.
Well, these are probably a little bit better. They're probably way more intense than – they're way more intense than the OTA ones. Way more fast-paced. Guys are actually moving around. But still, they're not –
not by
practices.
Much.
Yeah, not real practices. Yeah. But when does it actually start? Yeah.
So they have these three. Then they got Saturday off, because, you know, that's mandated by NFL rules. So then
especially,
they got Saturday
especially
off.
After not real practices, you definitely need time off.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And then on Sunday, they're back at it with another practice. But I'm not – I think I made this mistake last year. I assumed that first practice after the day off was pads, and at least last year it wasn't. So maybe they're in pads Sunday. Otherwise, I would say at the very latest, they'll be in pads on Monday. So they go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. And then I think they'll have – it's not on the public schedule, but I think they'll have another practice – either Wednesday or Thursday next week. That'll be like media only, I think. And then Friday they've got family night, which I know you love.
It's that fast of a turnaround?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then they've got their first preseason game against your old buddy Aaron Rodgers, who I don't expect to play in it, on August 13th. So, yeah, it'll be Pittsburgh time in no time.
Yeah. Now, are they doing a joint session with Pittsburgh or no?
No, only joint practice. And this is another thing that, and again, I've got a great working relationship. Tosh likes to pretend that LaFleur and I are friends. We don't golf together. We don't drink wine together. We're not friends.
That's accurate.
No, we're not. I've never been to his house. Like,
I don't care. If you asked him, he'd say you were a friend.
No, I don't think he would. And I wouldn't say that about him either. We've got a good working relationship. But if you look at kind of the way he has structured things in the past, and I would say this to him, now you've caused me to lose my train of thought about this whole friend thing because you kept pushing it.
I will always push it.
I know you will. That's part of your charm. But I've lost it. I can't remember what I was saying before the friendship thing. I would say to Matt LaFleur, though, because what's interesting is that Jeff Hafley down in Miami is kind of ruffling some feathers because he's tackling a bunch. And I'm not sure, that is not how most coaches do it. And I understand where he's coming from, wanting to protect his guys. And he should, LaFleur should. But I think there's also some value. Now, you are the poster child for why you have to be smart about that because you lost your left tackle, Brian Bulaga, when he got rolled up on during family night. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you try to avoid this time of year to play it safe. But, again, they don't have a lot of practices. And they're not even that long either. Like, I can't remember who said it. I don't know if it was Tausch or somebody else, but somebody said that we have to, maybe it was you, Homer, but probably not, that we should look at the early few games of the season kind of like we look at college football games early in the season where they're like they don't have a preseason schedule, but you kind of hope you get cupcakes early because you're working things out. I think that's probably how we have to look at the NFL regular season in some ways too.
Yep. Yes, we have run out of time, but Brian Bulaga does have one question to ask you as to whether or not you've heard of this thing before.
C-Cat, play the clip.
When was the last time you wrestled someone?
I was wrestling in the pool with my kids the other day.
Okay.
And they're getting to the age now where they're 19, and I finally realized, like, holy,
they have some strength. Yeah.
Can't do this anymore.
That's when you guys start cheating.
Well, let me just tell you now, when I'm talking about cheating, like 5-on-2 at least 4 or 5 times was the only saving grace I had. If you haven't been a wrestler, I'm not sure you know what 5-on-2 is.
No.
No, what I can tell by your eyes.
That's a times complete two, grip I didn't realize of the that.
I have no idea what that is.
Look it up.
And this is what Fickle is doing to his 19-year-olds. And then you tell me what's going on with the Badger program. And we can talk about this, Jason, when I
don't think Fickle has done anything to this point in a game or whatever that concerns you as much as this. Is that an accurate comment, Brian?
Yeah. Bulaga? Yes. Yep. 100%.
100%. All right, Jason, you got some work to do.
Oh, my God. I'm afraid to Google this.
No, I wrestled computer. And I was horrible. So they did the 1-on-2 on me, but it was my own arm. So. You'll be able to figure that out as well.
It's time to go.
All right, take care.
It's been real.
Bye.
Be good. Bye.
Fisco Auto Body. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They're that good. And they still own the business, so they're still doing the work on the cars. So that's why they're so good, one of the reasons. On Forest Home and Franklin, expert workmanship, guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. They're that confident in their work. You can be when you've been doing it that long. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home and Franklin. Fisco. To remember the name. Who's going to be the first to say to Luke Fickle, you realize from now on, you're going to be known as 5-on-2. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Well, 5-on-2's kicking some butt now. Next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour with Jason Wilde. This segment won't be as good. I did want to follow up on, because there's so little work in the preseason, how do you think it's fair to judge the first couple games in the regular season? You know teams aren't ready, but everybody's not ready. And how do you think the coaches look at it? I don't know if there was a transition for you in your time where it changed and it was just a different level in the first couple games, or maybe it's all made up. Take it away.
No, I mean, I think nowadays with the way the practice schedule is and how long camp is and lack of preseason games, and I get that they're trying to do joint sessions to try to make up for that, but I think with all those things being shrunk, you probably are looking at the first two games as break-in period. You're not sure what you're going to get. Your team may look good, may look rusty, may look good in spurts, may just look bad. You're not too sure what the first 2 weeks of the NFL season are going to give you. And maybe not even the first 2 weeks. You may look at the first quarter of the season, right? Like first four games. Well, that's what we used to call it, four quarters of the season. Now it's different because they had the game. But I normally, like, when we had all that, right, when we would do the preseason game, yeah, we had the full training camp. We normally looked at, like, week one as like, all right, get out jitters and rust, and then week two, you're into it. Like, you're rolling. And even that, if you didn't play good week one, it wasn't like, oh, don't worry about it. It was – We gotta nix this in the butt. Like, I mean, there was no doubt about it. But I think nowadays, with how limited they are, just with practice time and with pad time, you're looking at 2-3 games to see what this your team's gonna be and how they're, you know, gonna round out. And I think that's accurate. I mean, I think if you look at the games in general over the first 3 weeks of the season, there's a lot of sloppy football. A lot of bad football.
So how does a coach evaluate that? Because he knows just what you said, what's going on. Do fans have to be the same way? I know Steve Young said last year, he goes like, don't talk to me till Thanksgiving. It's all preseason till then, the last whatever. And that seems that means to me your team you were on was really good in terms of, you know, how you were playing at the end of the year. But that's what's the way to watch?
I think Thanksgiving is a little bit of a stretch. I know Steve, obviously quarterbacks look at the game a little bit
differently. And their team was really good. They're talking about, oh, we got to be ready to win it all. But I'm saying, yeah. So how do after the first game, however the Packers look, are you going to say, Homer, calm down? After the second day, are you going to say, Homer, calm down? After the third day, and you say, okay, it's legit now. I'm curious.
Yeah, I think after the third week is normally when I look at it and go, all right, like, if there's major flaws and major issues, it's like, okay, like, these are things that we're going to have to really look for over the season. But, like, the first two weeks, like, I just think it's inevitable that there's going to be sloppy play at times and guys are not going to look themselves and they're still getting into game shape. Like, that was always the thing week one for us, even with the full camp schedule, was getting into game shape. Like, well, you had all training camp. Well, you can't simulate a game.
Yeah.
You can't simulate a game no matter what you do in training camp, no matter what, it doesn't matter. You cannot simulate a full game and
just like you can't simulate playoff until you've done it.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the pressure of the playoffs and the momentum and things like that, like you can't simulate that. So yeah. Like that's why, yeah, after 2-3 weeks, after the third week is when I will look just the way I'm gonna evaluate Jordan Morgan. After about 2-3 weeks is when it's going to be like, okay. So, like, yeah.
Until then, you'll notice things, but you won't make judgments. Yeah. All right, we got a break. 2 Wisconsin State Fair admission tickets, 1-800-990-3776. Caller number 7, caller 7. Summer's biggest tradition is back. The Wisconsin State Fair returns August 6th through the 16th. 11 days of family fun. Legendary cream puffs, can't miss fair foods, everything. Everybody knows what this. If you don't know what the State Fair is, don't call for the tickets. How about that? They didn't put that here. Get your tickets today. Start planning your visit at wistatefair.com. We'll see you at the Wisconsin State Fair. Caller 7, 2 Wisconsin State Fair admission tickets, 1-800-990-3776. Caller 7. Next. And that means we're about done. But Brian Bulaga has one final thing to respond to, and I'm curious. Once they start the workouts, is there a player or two that you're going to be watching, or is it just another training camp?
Obviously, Jordan Morgan. You know, I want to see how he progresses over the summer and how he does. And then another one to me will be Van Ness. I think how his training camp's going is going to be a big, big factor for this defense once week one kicks off. So those two guys, and they should get a lot of time going against each other. So it'll be perfect.
And we'll get judgments from you, and that will also be perfect.
I'll do my best.
Would you ever say, man, Wisconsin's good. Old 5-2's got it cooking.
If they got it cooking, I will say 5-2's got it cooking. There's no doubt.
I can't wait. I now want Wisconsin to win more than ever so that we can hear it from Brian Bulaga. And if you don't know what 5-2 is, you can look it up, or we'll have it at ESPN Wisconsin, right? The comments of Luke Fickell there. We played him there. Just look up Luke Fickell, the 5-2, multiple times with his kids, right? I didn't even remember that fun.
Multiple.
Oh, wow. Next.